I had a great time at World Youth Day. I remembered each one of you at the various masses because your generous help really contributed to my pilgrimage to the World Youth Day. I went with a group called Jesus Youth, and there were around 180 pilgrims around the world with that particular group. We stayed at a place called Brasa di Pina. The parish was run by another Indian priest. I was not expecting an Indian from my own local place in that parish. He's been a missionary there for the last 27 years. One great thing attracted me was the joy of the young people. That we were not afraid, as normally that happens in World Youth Day, to just be joyful about Christ. Just carrying random crosses and carrying Bible in hands and rosaries in hand in public train, in metros and different corners. We're just being very happy and joyful. So much so we see these people who comes after work, corporate people looking very serious and stressed out. We will go up to them and say, "Be happy, Jesus is peace." And we have a t-shirt called "Keep Calm, Jesus is Love." And we went up to the military people and said, "Can you read this?" They started to laugh. "Keep calm, Jesus is peace." And it was great to see that young people were not afraid about their faith, rather so joyful. And when they could see there is, it is accepted. We are accepted around here because there are so many people around the world because of one cause. And that brought out a lot of joy and freedom and sharing. In today's gospel we read, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. There is no need to be afraid, little flock, for it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom." Most of the time, in my own experience, my faith is hidden in my heart. I don't want to express it because of the fear, especially the fear of rejection from outside. Especially in this time of the church going through so much struggle around the world, especially in catechesis, all the questions we're asking to Bishop, how can we witness in a very secular world? Or some people were asking, "Bishop, my family, I have a brother or a sister who are in a wrong relationship, probably in a homosexual relationship. How will I witness my Catholic faith? Not just the Christian faith, but my Catholic faith." It was very true and evident that people around the world experiencing the same challenge. But when we all came together, we had this confidence. It is okay to be Catholic. It is okay to hold on to this precious teaching that is given by Jesus through the church. And that has brought out a lot of commitment in the young people. I met a girl on the bus and started to speak with my Google Translator with her. And she said she was wearing a dress just full of cross, I think all over the cross. And I said, "Tell me about your story." And she said only one word in English: "God is the joy of her youth." And she was going to become a nun in one of the charismatic congregations in Brazil. "God is the joy of my youth." Witnessing this faith around in young people from around the world has brought joy. And that joy and hope brought them to something called consecration. That is one of my reflections back from World Youth Day: consecration. Being set apart for God. And it has deeply touched me in this World Youth Day. And if you were in Friday here, this is again another repetition of the Friday homily. I had an opportunity after the World Youth Day experience to go to a slum in Rio. Rio has got many slums. One of the biggest slum and dangerous slum in the world is called Mare. Mare, I don't know how long it is, but it is between two big highways. Very dangerous place. We see kids with guns and walkie-talkies selling drugs. Every single corner, there is something called yellow table. Yellow table, they have drugs in a plastic rubbish bin bag, and they sell drugs. There will be two kids there with this guy who's selling, who's got a gun and a walkie-talkie. The moment one person enters the slum, the other end of the slum gets the news through the walkie-talkie. Dangerous slum. And if you walk through the narrow roads, you see gunshots everywhere. It is because the streets fighting. After 7 o'clock, everyone comes out. It's full of, it's just immorality. If you read Corinthians, that's what I felt. The letter to the Corinthians. Complete immorality. Like, just after 7 o'clock, it's just alcohol, drugs, and sexual immorality. So many children and young people in the slum. No taxis would go there. No bus service. All the taxis would stop at highways. You have to walk into the slum. And if you're a stranger, immediately the whole slum will know that there is a new person in there. And there is something called zombies. Zombies are people who have been addicted to drugs for many years, and they're literally zombies. They're like worms. They can't even stand up. They're all, you know, full of filth and dirt, and they live under the bridges of this highway. They are not allowed into the slum. There were people from the slum. Now they are too addicted. The slum people even don't want them. So they kick them out to the fringes of the slum. In the night, they come and steal from the slum. The kids shoot them. So every night you hear a couple of shots. Well, one person died. And the municipality van, they grab the body and go. And one priest from the Rio de Janeiro diocese, Father Giovanni, heard the call when he was a deacon that he wanted to go into the slum. Until then, I don't think there were many priests going there. Occasionally, priests go there and say mass. He started to go into this slum. The first time he started to visit the slum, he was beaten up, completely naked. When he was 30, this is 9 years ago, completely naked. But he didn't stop. He started to visit every day with the permission of the bishops. The drug chief didn't like it. So one day he was attacked on the road and his five rib was cut and there was blood coming out of it. And in that, he heard God saying, not just visit, but stay in this place. He came back, stayed in the slum. There were so many oppositions. People were throwing stones at him. But finally, they started to love him. And he slowly started a community called Preciosa Vida, which is called Precious Life. And his emblem is a cross, and on the cross, the heart of Jesus broken, and the blood pours out, and it is being collected in a chalice. Same kind of reminds me of the missionaries of God's love emblem, the heart of Jesus on the cross. And this priest is a charismatic priest, much more charismatic than us. He loves Padre Pio and he loves Sister Faustina, Divine Mercy. And that is his charism, to pour out the life of Jesus, collect it in a chalice, and give it to others. That is his vision. His vision is to bring life into this slum. Because such a terrible situation. He took me to the drug chief. He's the friend of Father Giovanni. The drug chief shook my hand. And I said to Father Giovanni, I'd like to pray for him. And he said, okay, Father. He took his hat off, took his gun and put it on the table. All right, you pray for me now. I prayed for him. Took his gun back and put his hat on. And he told me,
I pray rosary every day.
What a situation. I went into, we as a group of five, we went into many bars and pubs. We prayed for them. People were drinking. Hey, can you stop? Can we pray for you? They were all open. That's a funny thing. They were all open to the prayer. And we went into families. That was a situation, especially the woman, especially mothers. I asked them, what do you want to pray for? Only one thing they said, familia, familia, family. Because the families are, they all worry about their teenage children. Either they started to sell drugs or they get raped in the night. Either they started to, just violence everywhere. I couldn't even imagine. It's not just poverty. They have money. They go and work in Rio, selling many things and come back to the slum. And where it's just violence, drug abuse and things. And Father Giovanni had this message, deliverance. So every Friday night, every Saturday night, he's got this big charismatic mass in this slum. He built a church there. And what he does is, he do the charismatic mass, expose the Blessed Sacrament, and he prays for deliverance. And he was saying, many people are getting the deliverance. And slum is another place of evil. The devil is, it's the place of devil. That's what I felt. But where there is sin, there is also grace. There is 9 guys joined Father Giovanni who wanted to commit it and become priest and work solely in the slum. And I was thinking, if I ever get a chance, will I leave there? Oh, tough question. After 7 o'clock, even Father Giovanni wouldn't go to the streets. Because he said, it is. They don't know how they would behave. I was with Father Giovanni, we were walking to a person, and he said, Father, stop. Don't come to me. I don't know how I will react. And we backed off. But the church is right there in that midst. It is not a glorious church there. It is a suffering church right in their midst. And there was 25 of us. 15 from UAE. A couple of people from USA and Canada. And seeing this, they really felt the call. And some of them would say, they extended the stay in the slum. They extended their stay. They changed their ticket. They wanted to be there. Because they are seeing a church who serves. And Father Giovanni, he didn't go there as a glorious priest trying to give out things, but he went there, he suffered with them, and finally they understood this guy is with them. He's not leaving them. He's not living in a palace in the city and coming and ministering. Rather, he lives in the midst of them. And he is not afraid to talk about his love. He's not there to do any social charity work. He's there to bring only one thing. Jesus. And what Jesus offers? Life. Life in abundance. And that has captured me. Are we afraid to show our faith? Are we afraid to translate our faith into action? Yes, in my life I am afraid. So much fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of how people would take it. Fear of even preaching. How would I integrate the church's teaching on homosexuality, the church's teaching on abortion, or any other ethical issues? How would I integrate into my preaching? I'm afraid. There is fear in me. Then the question, where is my faith? The second reading we read, the faith of Abraham. At the age of 83, he was promised. 87, he was promised a son. And he didn't get it in 88 or 89. He got the son only when he was 100. 13 years of patient waiting. He didn't walk away from God. 13 years of patient waiting. Can you imagine? We can wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But 13 years of patient waiting. And then at that time, God says, You will have sons like the sands of the sea, sons and daughters, descendants like the sands of the sea. The next sentence is that, come and sacrifice your son to me. How will ever I have descendants like the sands of the sea? Never. But he trusted God. He walked all the way to Mount Moriah. He walked all the way. What a faith. What a faith. Sometimes we are afraid, or sometimes we are very impatient. At one of the catechises, we did a workshop. I was emceeing at the catechises. So we called, how many people trust in God? All raised their hand. How many people really, truly trust in God no matter what? One person raised the hand. And the priest called him forward. He came up. He was blindfolded. And then asked him to climb a couple of steps. He climbed really high. And the priest said, now just fall back. Just fall like a leaf. Not jump, just fall like a leaf. And everyone was so quiet. And he fell, and we had people to catch him. But that is faith, isn't it? Our faith, as the first reading says, they had sure knowledge of the promises of God. Have we got sure knowledge of the promises of God? How many of us really read and believe the Bible? Sometimes Catholics don't read Bible. We don't read. How many of us really read and take the promises that Jesus has given in the Bible? That I will be with you, I will be your rock, I will be your refuge, I will go before you, I will not leave you as orphans. All these promises, how many of us really take it to heart? Do we really take it to heart? If you really, really, truly believe what is given to us in the Bible, we don't have to be afraid. That is my experience. Recently, I've been afraid of priesthood even. It is tough, Lord. I'm afraid of my own weaknesses. How can I go forward? There is a long life ahead of me. I don't want to make scandals. Where does it come from? The enemy. The enemy comes, John chapter 10, steal and destroy. Steal and destroy. But I have come to give you life, life in abundance. John chapter 10 and 10. And if you don't know the word of God, where will it come from? Let us read the Bible. Let us study the church teachings. And let us increase our faith. Because the enemy is always there to steal and destroy our faith. When he steal and destroy our faith, he steal and destroy our joy. When he steal and destroy our joy, he steal and destroy our hope. Our hope that one day we will be with God. Our hope one day the Christ will return and embrace everything to him. The hope of eternity. Let us cherish our faith. Let us boldly nurture it. And let us boldly express it and leave it out.